Quickie.
Hey, Video Game Bang listeners. This is Corey from the Video Game Bang. You're listening to a Quickies edition. This is a middle of the week episode where we just release a quick 15, 20, 25, 30 hour video, whatever we feel like at the time. And this one we have a doozy for you. Basically, we had an interview. We did a top 10 list back in episode 9. Go listen to it. Great episode. My favorite episode besides this one. And we had a disagreement with the list. Aaron, I should say, had a disagreement. So we tracked the man down. James Hawkins, established writer for Bit Creature. He's been on Dig. He's a very prestigious writer. And Aaron wanted to discuss the battle between GoldenEye and Perfect Dark. And well, we tackle a bunch of issues. Check it out. Also, I want to let you guys know, on the Facebook page, we are still hunting for 400 page likes. We've extended the GTA 5 giveaway to October 1st. So 400 likes, October 1st, we give away a copy of GTA 5. It's that easy. Just go do it. All right. Enjoy the interview with Mr. James Hawkins. And we're back. Just as we promised, we have a special, very special guest, a big fish in the games writing industry. His name is James Hawkins. You may know his work from BitCreature.com, and before that, he was in the joystick division. How's it going, James?
It's going well. Thank you for having me on.
No. Thank you for being on. Do you understand? This is a big deal for us over here.
Oh, man, it's a big deal for me, too. You know, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, we did use one of your lists back in episode 9, and yeah, I agreed 100%.
Wow, already?
Okay. I thought it was probably the best list I'd ever read, personally.
Let's just end the interview here, then.
Yeah.
Well, we have plenty to discuss, yes.
I'm sweating bullets. You could ask the guys. I was very nervous. But you're here, and... just wanted to first let people know, guys, tell us a little about yourself, a little bit of your gaming background.
Okay. My first console was actually a Game Boy. I played on that before I played on any, entertainment system consoles. My first one of those was the Nintendo 64. So you can see, I guess, my bias in that list towards including N64 games.
Good one, though. It's a good bias.
Right now, I play mostly Gears of War Judgment. A huge fan of playing the competitive online multiplayer, I have been writing about games for probably almost 5 years now.
5 years. So, take us through the history. Then, was Joystick Division the first one you started writing for?
Yeah. I was in college at the time, one of my friends was writing for them. They were owned by Village Voice Media, I kind of bugged him and the editor-in-chief there to let me write. So I started writing for free for them, doing weekly top 10 lists, and worked my way up through the ranks there. I wrote about 15 articles a week for them after the first 3 or 4 months.
Wow.
And I guess topped out as the senior editor there.
Whoa. So you went to senior editor there. Then what happened? Cause then, we read the list thinking that the website was a full blown still going thing. And then saw that it looks like in 2012, they, shut their doors, their digital doors.
Yeah. So we were owned by Village Voice Media as one of their many blogs. So we were the national gaming blog for them. And they cut funding to a lot of their blogs. And unfortunately, we were hit by that. So we kept going for a little while and finally shut down. And kind of in the meantime, I kind of sat back and took stock of the games writing landscape, and rallied a bunch of writers that I knew and founded Bit Creature, which launched in July of last year.
Yeah, I was looking at BitCreature, and I noticed a really huge change of pace in the articles. They seem to be more essay-driven, seem to be more thought-provoking. I did appreciate that as someone who goes through, and it wasn't about necessarily breaking the stories, but it was more about thoughtful insights.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I guess my mentality with that was there are dozens of very capable video game news sites that have a ton of resources and a lot of insight into the industry that an independent blog really doesn't have. And so I thought kind of breaking from that ubiquitous games journalism.
Can you break down what ambiguous means for
I think he said ubiquitous.
Okay, for me?
Yeah.
But basically what I mean is like everyone's doing it. It's very pervasive. There's a tremendous saturation of that kind of writing in the game culture. And so I think part of it was a little bit of my – I had like a little bit of pent-up anger from writing like 100 top 10 lists, one every week, and wanted to like break into something that was, I don't know, actually, you know, not academic, but at least pushing the boundaries of like creative writing as well as like critical analysis.
Now, was this for profit? Were you guys profiting off of this one, or was this strictly just for your guys' creative?
I financed it personally, and we did have like ad revenue, but it was the ad revenue business model is like the worst way to make money in the world. So it was like mostly about like making a dent in kind of what I shelled out, you know, to pay the writers and keep the site going. But
oh wow, so you paid the writers out of your own pocket?
Yeah, that was something I was kind of determined to do. Having, you know, I thought the best quality writing and the best writers out there are you know, doing this as a job and as something that, you know, they deserve to be compensated for. And so, you know, it was a contract, I guess.
Okay. We did mention there's no compensation for this interview, correct?
Oh, wait, what?
Okay. Click.
Yeah.
And I was looking through the people who you had writing with you. There's a nice giant list here. And the name that jumped out at me particularly was Patricia Hernandez from Kotaku.
Yeah, this was, Patricia was, came on fairly early, actually before she went to Kotaku, when she was running a website called Nightmare Mode, and her what she really brought to the table that I adored was in this space being able to kind of breach into like more creative writing style is kind of a crappy descriptor. It doesn't really do that justice, but to kind of break away from the blog roll style that I think you see a lot elsewhere. So
yeah, she's one of those people too. The big reason I noticed her is because it seems like she catches a lot of flame on Kotaku.
Everybody catches a lot of flame. Like if you're a writer for a website with any readership, you know, the guise of internet anonymity is
oh yeah,
comes know, with the territory, I'm sure.
Keyboard warriors.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, yeah. Writing the when doing those weekly top 10 lists, man, I listened to the podcast, you know, after you linked it to me, and I remember writing that list, and it actually made the front page of Dig back when Dig was a thing.
Awesome. Whoa, website.
Yeah, that's a great website.
Yeah. And it got like a lot of traffic. And there was something like, I think the article on Dig had something like 1500 comments or something. Oh. And I would guess that at least 100 of them were actual like death threats.
Oh wow.
Yeah. And it's like, it's kind of hilarious. I mean, because I don't really care at all about that. I think it's kind of hilarious, but you see, you know, people get super personal, especially if you write about stuff they don't agree with. So,
yeah, and it seems like both Patricia and you know, the way you're even talking about it, have some pretty, you gotta have some thick skin. It seems like you guys both have that. I follow you guys both on Twitter. We are one of the few people on Twitter who I actually care to read the tweets. They're extremely good.
Thanks, man.
About football and stuff, and we're football fans over here.
Good, yeah. Yeah, that's why I couldn't do this interview on Monday, because I was watching football.
Yeah, I felt like an idiot for even asking, because that was the biggest, yeah, that was a big game. So, speaking of people who want to flame your lists, we have Aaron here.
Wow, hey, that's pretty harsh. His list?
My co-host. Actually, no, we both agreed it was a great list, but Aaron has one disagreement. I'll go ahead and let him explain.
Yeah, bring it on, man.
Well, I've read plenty of top 10 lists for first-person shooters, and over the years, it seems like GoldenEye is definitely, you know, supreme ruler of these lists over and over again. And I grew up in that age of GoldenEye, and actually most of the shooters that were on your list, I grew up in all that age, playing all of them. But I really hold Perfect Dark very, very dear to my heart, because that was one of the first-person shooters that I got that was just, like, amazing. You know, it, in your article, you said it took what, you know, GoldenEye brought, and it expanded upon it, right?
Right.
And it, to me, still today, it does things that no other first-person shooters do, you know, and it did it well at the time.
Absolutely.
And so I was wondering, I'm like, why is that one so far down on the list? Like, why hasn't that been the reigning king of first-person shooters?
Right. Well, so with top 10 lists, I guess I wrote so many of them, and I actually tried to put a lot of research kind of in a general, like, culture, you know, surveying the cultural landscape in the response to these games, and so if any game makes a top 10 list, it can be pretty easily argued for the best. Like, if it's in that echelon, then it's probably, you know, I think you could switch a lot of those games around and you know, a lot of the top 10 games around, and you would still have like a fairly comprehensive list of the best 10 games. And so, you know, I can totally understand the argument for Perfect Dark being at the top. I guess my justification for it was, you know, it came out, I think, 2 years after.
Are the cops after you right now?
Yeah, actually.
Or is that GTA in the background?
The police are here.
Sorry, continue. Yeah.
Sorry, I live in downtown Seattle, and so the sirens are pretty common. So it sounds like they're done. Anyway, I'm sorry. So I guess my justification for putting GoldenEye at the top of the list was coming out a few years before Perfect Dark, it really set the stage for Perfect Dark success. And, they're back. Anyway, without GoldenEye, I don't think Perfect Dark would have had the foundation to become such a great entity. And so, you know, when making that list, that was, I think, my real justification is, you know, that is an expansion upon the GoldenEye Foundation.
But then
I gave kudos to the one that started it.
You would think then still that GoldenEye, if GoldenEye, if that's what your, you know, justification for GoldenEye being number one, then I would still see a Perfect Dark as like a number two. But if we're going on like that as a whole, you know, reason why I have things, and it's just like Doom would be kind of number one because that was kind of like the first or Castle, right? Return to Castle, you know, Wolfenstein. You know, if we're going with that, those set the stage for everything after. But sure, if we're going on total package here, and I got to believe that that's what everybody looks at these top lists at. I mean, Perfect Dark, total package, hands down, on all day. I mean, minus, you know, jumping, because I mean that was just unheard of back then for some reason.
Yeah,
I mean it just seems like the weapon count that they had everything that GoldenEye had. Of course, you know, like you said, to set the stage, so you can take that game, GoldenEye, you throw it in Perfect Dark, and then you add on a whole bunch of different challenge modes, different multiplayer, you know, adding bots, disarming, which you still did not see in the game today, which right. I have no idea why.
That's a really good concept that I'd like to see make a comeback.
Yeah, like, yeah. Come on now. Where's my expansion on a game that I believe was already, for, you know, lack of a better word, perfect?
Right.
Oh, wow. I see how he did
that. Yeah, wow. Very, that. Very nice. Exactly.
On there. Yeah. yeah, no, I mean, I think...
So I think what Aaron basically wants is for you to renounce your list.
Well,
No, you don't need to. I would never want the man to renounce his list. That is his opinion. My opinion as well would be right. for you to switch 10.
Right. Yeah. If I still had access to the CMS, I would go back and swap them. But no, I think that's a super good argument. You know, that the fact that. Even though Perfect Dark never achieved quite the commercial success mm-hmm. that GoldenEye did, a lot of the things that it added to the genre and to multiplayer games are super pervasive even now. Like bots, for instance, you know, being a fan of Gears of War, you know, that's been a huge part of their multiplayer experience is bots. Mm-hmm. And you know, Time Splitters was another one that really kind of took off on that. And even the James Bond franchise, I remember when Nightfire came out, that was one of the first games I ever played that had bots that also had unique personalities.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so yeah, that was huge.
Well, wait. Perfect Dark as well, actually, first.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying is that even though GoldenEye has, you know, had this commercial success uh-huh. and is more widely known, I think that there are a lot of elements that that Perfect Dark brought that are, you know, with us today and people are still building on mm-hmm. That it doesn't get the credit for.
Why do you think that is?
Is
it just because of the commercial sales? Like, it just didn't...
Just because that Pierce Brosnan...
It's,
yeah.
Right.
It's the name. It's the household name. The 007, household name. James, James Bond, GoldenEye. That's household name, you know. Mm. If you grew up in our era or older, you know James Bond.
Mm. Yeah.
Right. Right. And I think, I mean, you know, I guess with GoldenEye, it had the huge benefit of being a licensed title. So, yeah. You know, having the James Bond world, and especially... You know, such a great action movie in GoldenEye to kind of build itself around. That was tremendously powerful for its success, but I think it also limited it in terms of how creative and how imaginative they could be.
Very true.
And so, Perfect Dark is an example of taking that foundation without the limits of the world and expanding really broadly on it. And so, you know, Joanna Dark is not going to sell as many copies as, you know, James Bond is, but they had a freedom in developing it and creating this world that GoldenEye just didn't have because it had to stay true to the source material.
That's what I'm talking about. Resolution. We all come together. We're all friends now. Aaron is.
Oh, we were always friends.
He's got the biggest grin on his face. He's happy. Biggest grin on his face.
He's a very proud man.
Wow.
He told him exactly what he wanted to hear tonight.
Wow.
Right.
James, tell us, where can we read your material now?
Well, I had to shut down Big Creature, unfortunately, back in May. I got laid off from a job, but I started a new one about 6 weeks ago, and so kind of getting that squared away has been first and foremost my priority. But you know, I have freelance for Paste magazine some, and I do, you know, hope to dive right back into either my own project or you know, any of the blogs that'll take my work.
Yeah. Well, if you don't expect payment, we'll always take your work.
Yeah.
You are one of the greatest unmined talents, I think, in the video game writing, and we do super duper appreciate your time.
Yeah, he's good, man.
Yeah, man, absolutely. And like I said, you know, I have a tremendous backlog of top 10 lists. Some really bad, but most, you know, I think fairly, you know, well researched at least. And you know, I would be happy to justify my decisions on those anytime you guys like. So
I want to see the worst ones. I want to see the worst. That's what I want.
Yeah, anytime you need to, you want to come out, and when your new projects are ready and you want an outlet to talk about them, please let us be the first ones.
Absolutely, man. And I gotta say, you know, you guys came on my radar when you hit me up on Twitter, I think I've listened to 4 of your podcasts now, and I think you guys are doing really great work. It's super entertaining and hip, and yeah, you guys got great personalities. So keep that up. Keep up the good work.
Oh, I'm blushing. All right, so keep up with us on Twitter. Go ahead. Where can they find you on Twitter?
You can find me at James Hawkins, but the one or the I is a one.
And there's an underscore, right?
So, yeah. What's that?
Underscore.
No, it's just one word, I think. Okay. Yeah.
We'll check it and we'll link it and do all that great stuff. But again, thank you so much, James Hawkins. We look forward to having you back.
All right, man. Thank you. Take care.
All right, brother.